Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Talking to Death is released weekly, every Wednesday, and brought to you absolutely free. But if you want ad-free listening and exclusive bonuses, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts.
Talking to Death is a production of Tenderfoot TV and iHeart Podcasts. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, can we talk about your glasses real quick?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's cool.
Fuck it. It is hot. Are you seeing purple?
Yeah, it looks crazy.
Yeah, your glasses, the purple sunglasses you're wearing with purple shades. Are you seeing nothing but purple or what?
Yeah, it looks like a party in here.
That sounds inconvenient.
No, it's nice. Everything looks better.
I feel like that, like if you wore that for a day, it'd fuck you up a little bit.
Maybe, but
right?
Don't knock until you try it. You have to put these on.
Where did you get those? A gas station?
You know, I have my secrets, my fashionable places I shop at.
I really hope that you just went on Amazon and typed in purple sunglasses and like consciously ordered those.
A little bit of that.
You did. You're like, you're nodding like, fuck, I did do that.
It's halfway that. I got an ad on Instagram for colored sunglasses and they were like $50. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, these are pretty meme-y. I don't know if I want to.
Right.
Rock a meme for $50, you know?
Nah.
So, of course, I searched Amazon and found some for like $12.
Nice. It's probably the same exact, like, it's manufacturer. Yeah. Today's guest. Guests. Because there's two guests today.
Wait, let me guess who they are. Are they both men?
Nope.
Is one a man?
Nope. They're both women.
Okay. I was getting close.
They're both girls. Well, that's the name of their podcast. They're definitely women, but their podcast is called Two Girls, One Ghost.
I know the video you're talking about, though.
You're talking about Two Girls, One Cup, bro.
That's who we interviewed.
We interviewed the one that pooped.
Yeah, I think they all pooped.
I kind of realized that, I mean, that's definitely from our generation. That's a millennial, old, dirty video, early internet days, right? Two Girls, One Cup. If those listening do not know what that is, you don't need to look it up to find out, but you can. I'm sure it's still out there, but it's this really gross video. It's a lot of stuff going on. It's really bad. But yeah, that definitely scarred me as a kid. That's where they got the name from. It's a funny little riff on Two Girls, One Cup. I actually asked them about that in the interview. They've been podcasting, honestly, about as long as I have, which seems like an eternity at this point. I think they started their podcast within the year after Up and Vanished. So early days of podcasting. The premise of their show is they talk about ghosts, aliens, and all things paranormal. And they do really deep dive research into these cases. And they're both hilarious and witty. And just to be straight up with you, Sabrina, one of the hosts, is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Gross, sicky.
You're going to get cooties.
Ew. But during this interview, we were not dating yet. This is actually from a while ago. And one of the reasons I've kind of delayed putting it out was to not make things super weird as we were, you know, getting to know each other. But it's genuinely a hilarious interview. Dylan was there when we did it. We were in Dallas and we had been at some convention and we were just exhausted from being in this hotel for days. It's just like a vacuum, this biodome. And I texted Dylan. We were both just chilling in our hotel rooms. And I was like, yo, thoughts on moving to this Airbnb down the street right now? And Dylan was reluctant. You were. But
Dylan doesn't like to leave places.
And I get it. But the next thing you know, we're sitting on this patio and we're watching a movie and we're ordering candy and we're just having a damn sleepover. And it was awesome. But the house that we stayed in was like this Barbie house. I guess it's for like bachelorette parties or something, but it looks like a podcast set. If you go to the YouTube channel and watch the interview, Mike, I wish you could have seen it. Cause it was weird. Like,
yeah, I wasn't there. I saw the interview though. It's good. It's a really good interview. I thought it was fun, especially, the interactive part. I guess it's not really interactive, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and just, you know. And I highly suggest if you guys are enjoying the podcast and you do want to see the visuals of these interviews, you can just by going to our YouTube channel.
Just search Talking to Death.
Just go to YouTube and type in Talking to Death. It comes right up. But in this interview, Two Girls, One Ghost is hosted by Sabrina and Karen, and they are best friends and decided about 6-7 years ago that they wanted to make a podcast, and now they've been very successful and this is their full-time job, and they do really great deep dives into the paranormal. They actually even go out into the field and stay at some of these haunted places. Shit that I wouldn't want to do. You know, I would go knock on a murderer's door before I stay in some old haunted ass house. I don't know why that is, but I'm not even saying that I fully believe in whatever. I just don't want to touch it. You know, like, how do you feel about that, Mike?
Yeah, I'm very similar. I don't know if I really believe in ghosts, but I'm definitely afraid of them.
Like, but you're not playing it. Yeah, you're not playing with them though, right?
I'm not going to a haunted place. I'm not, if I do go on some haunted adventure or something, I'm not feeling good about it.
Yeah, long story short though, I think, you know, both Mike and myself, regardless of what we believe in terms of the paranormal or whatever, we're not playing around with it. You know, we don't want to dabble with the devil. But just to kind of spice things up in this interview, I thought it'd be kind of fun. I purchased this little tiny Ouija board. And it's tiny. It's so tiny that it's almost not functional. I pulled it out during the middle of the interview and we try to use it. I played with my first Ouija board, and even though it was all fun and games, I was still kind of spooked. This is a great interview. I know you'll enjoy it. And if you haven't yet, go check out their podcast called Two Girls, One Ghost. And without further ado, today's guests are Two Girls, One Ghost, Corinne and Sabrina. Two Girls, One Ghost.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Our ghost is somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting on your lap, probably.
Well, I don't feel
it's like
him.
The Haunted Mansion, right? He's light. He's petite.
What he does?
Yes.
Give a little back to
where's the name from?
Two Girls, One Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Or the name?
Oh. I was like, if we need
wait,
to tell you
one?
About Two Girls, One Ghost.
Yeah, that's like, a where'd you get the name from?
Trauma.
We were
when
inspired
13 years old.
By an infamous film. Well done. Excellently produced. I actually have never seen it.
Peak
what's
cinema.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh my gosh.
Probably 100%.
Probably 69%.
69%?
That's, 69%, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Probably.
Did you ever actually watch Two Girls, One Cup?
I think I did.
Did
I watched
you?
15 seconds of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was horrifying. It was like when they were actively pooping in the cup. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
I was a very innocent child. Like, I played with Barbies until in high school. So, like, I never watched it.
Is well, that but what Sabrina changed came everything? Up
with, it might have been what changed everything.
Just sent you on a new
flipped
path.
Flipped the switch, yeah.
The name was her idea.
It was.
No, I love the name. But
she said it as a joke. And I was like, wait a second. This is good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We can say
it kind of flows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't forget.
Yeah. I've also seen that video.
It seems like you are troubled by it.
Yeah. I mean, I can still picture it today.
Were you alone or in a group?
Also, but not to like kink shame. If that's your thing, maybe you like it. I don't know.
Are you into that because you're alone that I asked that question?
But a little messy.
Little messy.
I mean, I think I watched it with one of my friends. And
yeah,
then,
that's kind of how it usually happens.
I did one time. I need to find the video, but I need to find
the two girls, one cup video?
Well, no. So I filmed. I was living at my friend's house.
Okay.
Like, I was like 22 or something.
I feel like you remember exactly what you were wearing, too.
Probably, like, yeah. Because I had like three shirts back then. So, yeah, it was like a blue shirt. But we turned on like the FaceTime camera on the MacBook, mm-hmm. and we played it for his mom. And
why?
I don't know. It's really kind of messed up now that I think about it. But her reaction was so fucking funny.
Oh my gosh. And
she's like very animated. She was mm-hmm. like, oh my God. And we were just cracking up. And I was like, then I thought later, I was like, I just showed my friend's mom Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah.
Did you watch the entire thing?
Why? Is there something special at the end? Or
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I mean, I think so. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not that long, is it?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's a short one. But my parents, I had to explain the name of our podcast to them and what it was based on because people kept laughing and I didn't want them to feel out of, like, in the dark.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I eventually told them about it. It clearly was a traumatizing moment for my dad because he blocked it out of his memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a year later, he's with me and Sabrina before a live show in Boston. And he's so proud of us. He's like, it's the best dad ever. And he hugs both of us. He hugs both of us and is like, let's get a group picture. Two girls, one dad. And he's like proudly saying it loudly.
No,
shut up. Shut up. No.
That probably exists. I mean, you type in two girls, one dad.
Yeah.
There's going to be 1,000 stepdad videos ready to go.
Man, so many people need therapy. That's someone's trauma. And then it became their kink.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Typically how it starts, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. As a kid, what were you like?
Quiet and very innocent.
Okay.
And I like did everything my sister did.
Well, you're a middle child.
I'm a middle child. So I had, I feel like I was ignored quite a bit. And so I just kept to myself.
Yeah. So you say innocent. What do you mean? Like,
I played with Barbies in my closet until I was 15 or 16 years old.
Like made good grades and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Never got in trouble.
Never.
Teacher's pet.
I got in trouble once. Because a kid, this is like, it breaks my heart because I got pulled aside and told I was a bully. So basically this kid got lice and he got sent home from school. And the next day he came back and I was confused because I was like, oh, do you still have lice? And he said no. And later that day, the nurse came into our classroom and read a book about lice and how like, it's not okay to bully people. And my teacher made a whole speech. It was like, you know who you are. And then
that's
after
horrifying.
Class,
my heart is beating for you. Like I can feel
the whole
the anxiety.
Class, I was like, ooh, who bullied him? Who was it? And then she pulled me aside after class and was like, you know, it was you. So that's when I got in trouble.
But you're also probably a little concerned about getting lice.
Oh, for sure.
You're like, do you still have it? Because you sit next to me.
Actually, why doesn't the whole class go do a lice check at the nurse's office?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw, Sabrina.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The lice check, that was a thing. That was like a third grade thing for me.
Oh, we should talk about, I know this is your podcast, but you told us something about scoliosis checks.
I was just thinking that. I was like, we need to talk about your school.
How about trauma?
That was different.
So y'all never had that?
No. Yes, but I kept my clothes on.
Okay.
Wait, you had to take your clothes off?
Not completely, but down to your underwear. I mean, the whole locker room did. I mean, this is going to sound like really weird, okay? And I cannot be the only one who's experienced this.
Okay.
I mean, I hope not. So if anyone's listening, please tell me if you've had to do this before. I was in sixth grade and the gym teacher, like instead of going to gym class that day, we all lined up in the locker room and stripped down to our underwear in a line. And like when we got up to the teacher, we had to bend over and they would check for a curvature in your back, I guess.
I don't know why you have to be in your underwear for that.
I mean, I guess they need to see your spine. I guess you keep your pants on.
Yeah.
The hell? Yeah.
How far away were they from you?
Oh, they were right behind you.
Because they touch your it's fine.
The messed up part is like, okay, let's say I had scoliosis. Now what? Are you going to fix my scoliosis?
And also, this is the gym teacher doing this?
Yes.
How are they qualified?
I don't know. Like,
What happened to like an annual pediatrician checking you for things?
I had it at school, but it was our school nurse who did it.
Okay, maybe it was the nurse. It was a guy.
Were you all lined up in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at least everyone else was around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like...
It wasn't like come into my office situation.
No, but it was very weird. Just like, because usually in a guy's locker room, especially when you're in sixth grade, you're changing pretty quick. Like,
yeah.
You're trying to like, your tunnel vision, and you're like...
Everyone's embarrassed. Yeah.
It's always that one guy who's just way, way too comfortable, you know?
Yeah, and you're looking down at your one cube.
You're adult,
and
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. If only one day.
They want to talk to you like when they're naked, and you're like, God, what the fuck? Come on, man. Like,
you're not blinking because you're making such intense like, eye contact.
It's just like a car wreck. You want to look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't give me the option.
Because I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm bad at that. Yeah.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah. I look. Yeah. My looking's always got me in trouble. I'll just like realize I've been staring at someone and I'm like, oh, sorry.
I do the same thing. It's hard when you like space out and stare at someone for a while. What were you like as a kid?
I was, I guess I was more quiet. I was always like writing stories as a kid. And back then it was probably a little bit weirder. I mean, it sounds all cool now, but I would be up late on the computer writing stories. My dad was probably like, why doesn't he have more friends?
But look at where you are now.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that how you got into like filmmaking and documentaries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was always just wanting to create stuff.
And so music videos, rap videos.
Yeah, that. Yeah. We watched that. You posted it. So.
Yeah, you did post
it.
I did
post that.
We didn't Google and go deep.
Sure.
To find.
Yeah.
But maybe after this we will.
So what'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
Great.
I can't believe you gave up on your musical
There's still
dream.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Comeback tour.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, people are surprised when they hear that. And I totally understand that. Because like if you were to know me from like a true crime podcast perspective, investigating an unsolved murder...
And yeah, you wouldn't think.
You find out I was a rapper.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
How amazing was that, though? Your first foray into podcasting, and it was up and vanished.
Well, isn't this your first foray into podcasting?
Yeah.
No, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
We've just been doing it for so long, and you had a season, so I almost think of this as being like 100 podcasts in one.
Yeah.
Right, because you've been just, I guess, working over the years and evolving. Yeah.
It's been, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of, it was weird. But the point I was at in my life, I was kind of willing to take any risk to build my career and stop being this broke guy who was 27 who felt like a letdown to, you know, his family and friends who always thought like, oh man, you're going to be a famous director one day. Or, you know, I was like, man, did I just do it wrong? Or did I like party too much? Or did I, you know, take the wrong path?
Well,
I don't
know. Look at you now.
Well,
how did you decide to go audio only, being someone who had focused on video for a while?
I was actually concerned about that. I mean, it was really just because Serial. I listened to Serial and... I was like, holy shit, I'm this into an audio story. I didn't think that was possible with like my ADHD brain.
Yeah.
And I was kind of kicking around the idea of wanting to make a true crime documentary. I just kind of had the thought of, you know, after watching The Jinx and Making a Murderer, I'm like, okay, how does one become the person who makes this stuff?
Yeah.
Do they just go do it? What are their credentials? Like they're all filmmakers and creators behind it. And so I thought maybe I'll make a podcast as a proof of concept to like go eventually do a documentary. And so that was my plan. Like it was just a stepping stone.
Right.
It wasn't going to be a thing.
You're building your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's cool.
That's wild.
But that all changed once I learned that this is its own business and I was having fun doing it and we just started making more podcasts.
So cool.
Yeah.
Kryn, what were you like as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wasn't quiet. I was weird. I was whispering my secrets to the trees and still popular. But I did like to kind of like ruffle feathers. I was like a great friend and I belonged to a lot of friend groups, but I definitely tested my boundaries with the adults in my life. Like I did get in trouble one time in school and it was in high school. I'd run for class council and it was my turn to make a poster advertising the dodgeball tournament. And I was very artistic. Like I'm good at drawing and painting and all of that. And I had painted a pretty hyper-realistic drawing of two hands really close together and two red balls right there. And I said, grab your balls. It's dodgeball time. And put them all over the high school.
And how old were you?
Like 16, 17.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I truly pictured.
How'd that go over? Did it go over their heads or were you in trouble for that?
No, I got called to the office.
Okay.
Our principal was so cool though. He's like, I mean,
it is hilarious marketing.
Yeah. The art teacher is who, she reported me twice for things I did. And I was like, why are you trying to put me in a box? I'm an artist.
Did she just not like you?
No, she didn't like me.
I had teachers who like just didn't like me.
Yeah.
I mean, not, it was exactly that. Most were cool, but like, every now and then it'd be one teacher who just like, I don't like that guy.
Right. Which is so like, it's a child. And why are you an adult?
I don't like you either.
I had a teacher in high school who really did not like my sister. And at parent teacher conferences, because I had her after my sister had her. And this teacher told my mom, she goes, I really didn't think I'd like Sabrina because I don't like Alexis, but I love Sabrina. So.
Wow. So you really were the teacher's pet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't.
I was like such a nerdy little, like, I never brushed my hair. Like, it was always a mess. I wore like Wicked t-shirts every day. Like, Broadway musicals were my favorite. Yeah.
You're like Princess Diaries. You were Mia Thermopolis before.
Then I had her makeup.
Before she strained her hair.
Well, if you were a Barbie girl growing up, how'd you get into the spooky stuff?
Oh, I mean, I grew up in a haunted house and my dad is like potentially possessed.
What?
Yeah.
Let's unpack that for a second.
Okay, so he speaks another language in his sleep, one that doesn't exist. And he's now remarried the third time, and all of his wives have said the same thing. He did a past life regression once, and like his the person running it was like, oh yeah, there's a past life that's trying to come through and take over your current life.
Okay, so another language, what does that sound like?
Is
it not just gibberish? Is it?
I do not know.
Is it a language?
I've never heard it.
Or is it just nonsense?
I've never heard it. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
also, his current wife, she's bilingual. She's Lithuanian. Yeah. And so she speaks a bunch of different languages.
Okay.
And so I think she understands language and has identified it as sounding like a language. It's not just like mumbling or
random. There's consistency to it.
There's some type of. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Isn't that freaky?
That's very weird. So your house was haunted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How'd you know that?
Okay. Well, when we first moved into this house, I was probably like 4 and I started having recurring nightmares. And in the nightmare, I'd wake up like as I was when I went to sleep and I would see this figure in my doorway and I felt like I had to follow it. And so I'd follow it down the hallway to my sister's room and I would see these black and white orbs fighting over her. And it was like always scary. I felt like my sister was in danger and I'd wake up at that moment. I had this for years. And then when I was 21, I was at my college graduation dinner with my dad, my sister, brother, and we were just talking about reoccurring nightmares. And I share this story and my dad like drops me off at the party, you know, college graduation party afterwards. And he texts me and he's like, hey, do you have time tomorrow before I leave? I really need to talk to you about something you said tonight. And I was like, okay, you can't just say that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, let's do it now.
Yeah, hello. And he was like, that dream you had wasn't a dream. It happened in real life. Then he goes on to tell me that when we first moved into the house, he had fallen asleep on the couch and woke up to like a weird noise. And he thought it was just the TV, turns it off, and goes around the downstairs, closing all the doors, making sure everything's locked. And he starts going upstairs to where all of our bedrooms are and like immediately feels like, you know that feeling where someone's like looking at you or in the house?
Yeah.
And he checks on me. I'm asleep. He checks my mom. She's asleep. And he starts going down the hallway to my sister's room. The air gets cold. Like all of his instincts are telling him to run. He gets to my sister's door and he like touches the handle, opens it. All of the air is sucked out of the room, turns ice cold. My sister's asleep in bed, eyes closed. Her mouth opens and out of her comes, "Get out."
No.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
So he goes up to my sister and like shakes her awake and is like, "Leave my daughter alone," picks her up to take her to bed, turns around, and I'm sleepwalking in the doorway. So like my dream interpretation of it, I was witnessing all of it.
So you think your dreams weren't dreams?
I think they were my brain processing what I was seeing. Like I was witnessing something dark trying to possess my sister.
Okay.
And then like maybe
were you
the white
astral projecting out of your body?
Or I could have been doing that.
Or do you think that you were really experiencing that and then would go back to your bed and remember it as a dream the next day?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There have been parts. Yeah. Like I've astral traveled before. So maybe it's that.
OK, what's that like?
Scary. Really? I did it by accident and I woke up afterwards. Like the reason I woke up is because I heard something whisper in my ear. Wake up. Like something scary is going to happen.
Like audible.
Yeah, like you know in horror movies
in real life next
where
to
people
you?
Like spring up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. Like I heard the whispering in my physical ear and my astral self came right back into my body and I sprung awake.
Yeah, because when you astral project too, it's like almost into the astral plane. You're not exploring your own apartment or anything.
That time I was exploring my own apartment.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was like walking through the hallways.
Have you had an experience like that?
Like an astral projection?
Or like
or
a haunting like
ooh,
that.
Tell the one about yourself.
Okay. Well, I also grew up in a haunted house. And my parents lived in three separate houses. Every single one of them has been haunted. So
Are these old houses that would...
No, we built them.
Okay.
And we actually... Well, so my house in Vermont that I grew up in, the majority of the time, I moved there when I was five.
Mm-hmm.
My parents built it on this farmland. We knew the family who sold their farmland to the developer. And so for a really long time, we couldn't understand why our house was so haunted and other houses on our street. Like there was literally an exorcism of a house four doors down that was built
like a new modern
house in like 2002.
Wow.
So recently I actually ran into one of the farmer who had like sold the land, his daughter. And I asked her if she knew anything about the land being haunted. And she was like, "Oh my God, that doesn't surprise me." She's like, "I have no idea, but our farmhouse was so haunted." And she's in her 50s or 60s now, and she said she will not go into her basement. So we had so many hauntings in this house, and a lot of them were kind of benign. It was mostly like we had some regulars, like there were some people that we would see frequently. There was a ghost dog. I actually
have
never seen the ghost dog. It was a black lab with a red collar.
Okay.
For a long time, only people who were visiting our house would see this dog. My mom is the only person who has seen him in real life, and it was only like maybe 10 years ago. So for probably 15 years, it was strictly just being told to us by other people. So there was a lot that happened. A few scary experiences too that we all had. But one of the ones that I've been trying to make sense of this past year is when I was in middle school, I did get bullied very, very badly for like 2 years. And it was really, really horrible. And I actually don't remember like a lot of...
How so? When you say bullied, what were they doing?
Like telling me to kill myself and stuff like that. Like it was what you would see in a
Are these
in like
other
a documentary.
Girls or dudes too or what?
No. It was girls. It was like
mean
one specific
girl, like,
and like her cousins like and people.
Popular
that,
kids
so
being
awful.
Like picking on a random person or what?
I was popular too though, which is but I feel so weird. I was popular, Payne.
Okay.
People liked me.
I'm just saying. Right. Okay.
No, but it was more of me and this girl just. It was like finding yourself. She was unhappy in her life. And
clearly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, I mean, she's had a lot of growth. She apologized to me. a few years later, like,
did she really?
I forgave her. She was clearly in a very bad part of mm-hmm. her life. Yeah. And I was her best friend at the time, and it all was kind of taken out on me. So and then other people directed it towards me too. And so I had a really, really awful 2 years. I had really good friends during that time, but it was still really hard to like constantly be bullied every day that I went to school.
Yeah. So how'd you even deal with that?
I probably missed like a third of school for those 2 years. My mom would pick me up a lot. Yeah. So I was having a really, really hard time. And for those 2 years in my childhood bedroom, I had a mirror. I still have that mirror. It's hanging up. It's like a floor length mirror that hangs right next to my closet door. And during these 2 years, every once in a while, this woman would appear in this corner.
What'd she look like?
She would wear like baggy dark clothes, and she had like a middle part and kind of like dark brown hair. And her face, I couldn't entirely see it, but it was like kind of cloaked. And she looked really scary to me.
It sounds scary.
Yeah. But she would walk over to me and she would approach me, and I wouldn't be scared. I'd feel so like comforted and loved and understood. And she would like literally reach out, and I could feel her kind of like petting my hair and trying to make me feel better.
Oh, yeah.
It's so freaky, right? Like, but it should feel nice. Scary, but it felt nice really, ghost. Really yeah, good comforting. For those 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. So for a really long time, I was like, this must be my... like a guardian or like maybe like a relative. Like I had no clue who this woman was. I described her to my parents. They didn't know who she was either. And then this past April, I was at home and I was in that same exact corner and I was changing into my pajamas and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror and I was like, holy shit, I look exactly like that woman that I used to see.
Whoa, really?
Yes. And so I don't know how to confirm that, but like I'm probably a couple years younger than what that woman looked like to me, but very similar. And so part of me is like, am I
haunting yourself?
Haunting myself? Like, do I go through some therapy to like finally heal myself from
someone
this time period?
Also, at one of our recent shows, when we were in Boston, they said they saw someone the same exact description.
Fitting a very similar description.
Behind you, very proud of you, like a very like motherly, prideful type of spirit.
Yeah. So either I went back and I'm now like healing myself through some sort of therapy, or I'm gonna die in like 5 years and this is me seeing my soul go through all of my life's memories.
Or when we die, we just don't necessarily die.
Yeah.
Maybe mm-hmm. maybe we exist on some sort of imprint level on multiple planes or something. I don't know.
Right. And well, also if you die and then maybe you can choose how you reappear, like in ghost form. Said.
You just like go to the front desk and you get to check the box.
Yeah. You're like, I really love February of 2027.
It's like the DMV though. They're just like really frustrated at you. And you're like, there's a big line and you're like, God,
just
dude,
use my old picture.
Afterlife is horrible.
Yeah. So I had so many experiences like that growing up. My mom is also very intuitive and mm-hmm. into that stuff. And both her and I have had quite a few premonitions that have come true. But neither of us are kind of like locked in enough to understand.
We're like trying,
we can't identify.
This, our 2024 goal is to really tap in.
To confidently be able to say, we are witches.
We are witches. Because right now we feel like frauds when we say that. Or when people call us witches or ask if we're witches. Yeah.
Why is that?
I have imposter syndrome. Like, I don't feel like I know enough. Like, yeah, we talk about the paranormal all the time, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're witches.
Well, what would make you a witch?
Probably all the things we're describing. Yeah. It's just it's because we don't have like the full ability.
Surely not having a podcast called Two Girls, One Ghost and go on tour and conjure spirits in front of a crowd, right?
That's the weird thing, right? It's like our paranormal equipment that we bring on stage, probably a third of the shows that we've done has been really active, which seems like a really high percentage.
Do you think demons are real?
Yeah.
Okay. What's a demon then?
Like a darker energy for sure is.
Because it's kind of a spiritual term a little bit.
Right. It is.
Well, and I think too, our understanding, or at least like I'll speak for myself here, from so many of the cases that we've looked into and from what we've heard from other people, I almost think of a demon not as being like, I'm sure it could be just like an intelligent, active entity of its own, but I've also heard many times that someone's negative emotions or someone's trauma, like a piece of their soul or their experience almost mm-hmm. chips off.
Like a fragment of what once was or something.
Right. Yeah. And then it like festers and becomes like, if you're so angry and you have this huge, horrible thing that happens to you, all your anger might, some of it might like come off of you and then create its own sort of being. And that's what we encounter.
I mean, going back to your own experience in middle school, you were having a hard time, right?
Yeah.
What's your correlation with that? I mean, while you were having one of the hardest times you've had, you were experiencing this paranormal, you know, ghost figure in your mirror.
Yeah. I literally have no idea. I have no clue.
Is it like coming from your subconscious, or is it creating this energy that is becoming physically actualized in some way? Or
if I had to guess, because I have accidentally astral projected before, just like Sabrina has.
Accidentally astral project.
Have you ever had like sleep paralysis?
I have. Not really. I've had that like exploding head syndrome, which also, that's a horrible name for it, but that's what it feels like. It's like right when you're about to go to sleep, like right there, all of a sudden the loudest sound you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, I've never
like
had that.
Audibly in the room. Mine was a train horn, and it would make you jump up like, holy shit.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
And it terrified me. And I was like, wow, okay.
Did this only ever happen in one place?
I looked it up, and like I was really tired one night, and I hadn't slept in a couple days, and I used to sleep like on my back. I read that. I mean, I guess some study said that if you sleep on your back, it's, you know, more likely to happen. And it scared me so badly that I straight up don't sleep on my back anymore.
Wow.
And that's kind of an entry point.
I don't want it to happen again.
Yeah. Sleep paralysis, they say, again, if you sleep on your back or astral projection, that all happens. And then there's people attempt to medically, I guess, diagnose this or like explain what's going on. But I think the question that we have is, why do so many people experience the exact same thing when this is happening?
Yeah, even seeing the same exact
thing. Right, without the knowledge of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the very first time.
I guess, have you ever had an out-of-body experience?
I don't know if I have.
Have you ever dissociated?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like you're not doing it on purpose, right? Like I think that...
No, I'm not.
Yeah, like it just happens.
Yeah.
So I think in the same way, astral projection can just happen. And unless you know and are actively aware of the ability to do it, I think it does start accidental. And then you can like harness it.
So for those who don't know what astral projecting is, what is it and what were your experiences doing that?
I mean, I guess the simplest term or way to describe it is like your astral, your soul separating from your physical body.
It's tethered. And so like if you picture almost like a string or like an umbilical cord from your physical body leading your soul around as you explore either like the physical realm that we're currently in, or some people experience another realm and they speak to their loved ones on like the astral plane, which...
So your consciousness is still with your soul, like moving about.
And so what was that experience like for you? You said you accidentally astral projected. What did... Like paint that for me.
Well, you saw...
Were you going to
people
sleep?
People fighting over your
that
sister.
That was that one, yeah.
So you were like laying down to go to sleep? And
so I was fully asleep when it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was napping on my back. Okay. And mine wasn't that scary. It was just like, I've since fought the feeling when I feel like it's coming on. It's almost where you feel like your body's sinking and you're kind of floating above it, where like you're falling into your bed. And then I hear a really loud like whooshing, like almost like someone's putting headphones over me and I'm like underneath a train or something.
Was it not just a weird dream, or did you become conscious of what was happening in your dream or something?
The only reason I know that this even happened and it wasn't a dream was because when this was occurring, the doorbell rang. And it was in college when I was living with four other girls in a house, and the doorbell rang. Our friend Sarah was coming over, and I was so stressed that no one was going to go get the door and let her in that I saw myself, like, I didn't even see myself. I was actively getting up from my bed and walking over to the door, and I looked out of the window and I saw Sarah there, and I was like, someone needs to answer the door. I can't answer the door right now. And then like,
did you
15,
see her clothes and stuff?
That's exactly how I know. It's because then when I woke up from a nap, like 15 minutes later, and someone had answered the door, when I went out into the living room, she was wearing the exact clothes and she was carrying a cooler, and that exact cooler was there. And
that's
so I was like,
oh, very specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, how that's could cool. I have ever
wow,
predicted
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Is that what it was like for you?
No, mine. So I feel like the astral projection, that story kind of qualifies as astral projection. But then the one where I woke up because something whispered, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I was asleep. And this was early days of starting the podcast. So I think I must have just like started to open myself up a lot more mm-hmm. talking about the paranormal. And I'd gone to sleep and I woke up, but like saw my physical body still in bed. And I walked out, my astral self walked out into my living room and I saw this woman there. And she was like sitting on the couch in my living room. And I swear if I saw her in real life, I would recognize her instantly, but I had never seen her before. She had like dark curly hair. She was just sitting on the chair, kind of like this, just like sitting here and like waiting for me. And she like had me join her and we just sat and talked for 20 minutes about life and things that I was going through in that moment. And then she was basically telling me like I could go explore like what astral projection is and how it works. And so I start walking. And at the time I lived in this apartment building that had so many doors. And I walked through the hallway and I had to go through each of the doors. And like as I was getting to the exterior of the building is when that voice said, wake up.
So what was that voice, you think?
Someone trying to protect me? I don't know. Like a
something else, not you, not your subconscious?
It was a male voice. It was a male voice.
Okay. What did it sound like to your best impression?
It kind of sounded like my grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch the movie Insidious?
I did.
It's you know how like part of scary. It is there's darkness and darker spirits that exist on the astral plane that, you know, could take advantage of almost like a vacant body.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I think you were told to wake up
yeah.
because something was lurking and maybe going to take advantage of your
yeah
distance yeah. from yourself.
So you guys are on tour right now
mm-hmm.
and it's themed around your experience at the Conjuring House,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about how that happened and what the hell went down in that house.
So much.
Okay.
We've always, so for 6 years, we've been doing the podcast and we research places or we read people's stories and we've gone on like ghost tours in towns or like at certain haunted buildings, but we've never gone and done an investigation. And so we were like, I think it's time. We should do it. And I don't know why we chose the Conjuring House.
I don't know. It just seemed... It was attractive to us. We were like, let's go stay at the farmhouse.
It's so terrifying. Spooky, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I live in New England and it's in New England. So it felt easier. But Sabrina and I wanted to it wasn't necessarily just about spending the night at the Conjuring House. We wanted to take a little bit more of like a journalistic approach. And so we interviewed people.
Interviewed the ghosts or?
We interviewed the ghosts.
We did.
Did you?
The people who lived there.
We interviewed Andrea Perrin, who lived in the house. We interviewed Chad and Carrie Hayes, who wrote the movie. We
dug through documents at the Rhode Island Historical Society.
Yeah. And then we had Greg and Dana Newkirk come with us because, like we've said, like we don't feel like we're professionals. We've never done a paranormal investigation before. So we're like, we need to bring someone who knows what they're doing with us. So Greg and Dana came with us.
Yeah, they're quite famous paranormal investigators and caretakers of haunted objects. So they have a lot of experience with not only investigating, but like navigating certain spirits and negative presences. Mm-hmm. So we felt very comfortable having them come with us.
And Dana's a witch.
Like, and Dana's a witch.
Okay.
A
so
legit
she's
witch.
A real witch.
Yeah. A real
she's
witch.
A real
and how
witch.
Does one become a real witch?
You trust can your study, intuition and learn, practice.
Yeah. Practice.
But are y'all witches then?
We're trying. I think part of developing.
When do you become full witch?
When we get over our imposter syndrome.
Oh, okay.
And I think.
What if you never do?
Pain.
No, I mean, maybe do you?
Then we,
I mean, because
we never call ourselves witches.
I have imposter syndrome too.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Reading more will help me feel more. I just want to understand it, like the history of it and just like different
practices.
You want
to be more educated and nuanced on all the things.
Because I think. Practicing witchcraft or being a witch is very personal. It's a very personal experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like buying a book of spells and just doing all of them and being a witch. It's like learning about different things. And, you know, you speak to trees, like you are very nature driven.
Yeah.
I think I'm more like water driven and like dream space. So like maybe it's understanding what speaks to you and then like becoming more in tune with it.
Okay. So I think the trope would be that You have like a, you know, you're like whipping up potions and, you know,
casting hexes on people or something. Is that part of it? Or is it really more like about a self-manifestation sort of, like, I don't know. Like,
I think there are people who do hexes. I highly recommend that they don't, but I think it's more,
I think in general, internal people self. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about, yeah, trusting your intuition and just trying to do things. It's almost like self-care in a way where it's like you go through certain rituals that feel good. Eclectic witches, they kind of can grab a bunch of different types of witchcraft that belongs to different cultures and different types of people and test them out and see like what feels good and what feels right for them.
Yeah.
But then other people, there's so many different lines of witchcraft too,
like,
which
different
is, I think,
sects. Yeah.
Yeah, this is why you're like, oh, I want to be more educated in it too, because it's like, some people it's very hereditary and it's very culture based, but other people it's just like, does this feel like it's doing anything for me? Does this feel good?
Right. So, and then eventually we'll buy a cottage in the woods and live our best witchy life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're definitely.
Then
you're,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You
right.
can come too, but okay, the entry cool. is one tooth,
two teeth,
two teeth per
any
entry.
Tooth.
Any tooth.
Or
your tooth.
Does it have to be mine?
It does not have to be yours.
Okay. Cool.
I was thinking yours, but anyone that you. Want.
I was thinking you're gonna pull out one of
your
teeth.
Two front teeth.
What are you gonna do with my tooth? Are you gonna like use it for a one of your
necklace.
Potions
for a hex? Yeah.
For hex on me? Is that how that works? I give you one of my tooth, one of my tooths.
I give one of
my
your teeth. Your tooth, give me a tooth.
Yeah. I give one of my teeth and then you hex me? That's
I mean,
a bad
just
deal.
Don't.
Bad deal.
You I know it is bad deal.
Stay on our
don't
good side.
To us.
Okay. Yeah. Don't listen to anything I'm saying.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, so you arrive at the Conjuring House. What time was this at when you got there?
For the overnight, we got there at like 7 p.m.
Yeah, it was 7 p.m. We did the day tour the day before because we wanted to see it in the daylight and get like the same sort of group tour everybody else gets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for the overnight, we checked in at 7 p.m. We left at 4:30 a.m. And the only reason we left at 4:30 a.m. instead of staying until the 8 a.m. checkout time was because at 3 a.m., which is like the notorious witching hour, like when the veil is thinnest and the spirits are closest, it was dead silent.
It was quiet.
So it was so active in the house. But then for like 90 minutes at the end, from 3 a.m. on, nothing happened. So we're like, okay, I guess they're done.
Yeah.
Is there power in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you walk in there. What's the first thing that you notice? And you're like, oh, wait, that's something's going on. There's some activity here.
Well, okay, so during the day tour, because we were both a little nervous going into the house for the first time because we didn't, like, you know, we had seen the movie. We didn't know much else. So we thought there was going to be evil spirits there.
Mm-hmm.
When you walked in,
I was so calm. Like, I was nervous walking up into the threshold. And then as soon as I passed through from the outside to inside through the doorway, I felt so warm and so loved. And I was like, I could take a nap here.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at Sabrina and I was like, I feel so good.
Yeah.
Were you just having a good time or was it deeper than that?
No, it's just like truly, you know, when you enter a space and you can tell like if someone just had a fight or mm-hmm. if something just feels really like homey and warm and comfortable. I felt like it was really homey, which it doesn't look homey. So
it does, though. It's like old-timey farmhouse. Like, it is very beautiful.
A little bit.
It yeah. is. Yeah.
Well, also you looks walk in.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the room that you walk into, like, they're playing into the Conjuring movies. There's
Ouija
Annabelle
board,
dolls, like, your Raggedy Ann dolls
yeah.
everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. They
do not
it.
Break the glass. You know?
And I did not feel the way you did.
No. You picked
I
up
felt
on a totally
uneasy.
Different energy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Which is weird that you can walk into the same place and have two different feelings.
What'd mm-hmm. you feel like?
I just felt uneasy. Like, I felt the shift in energy. It wasn't scary necessarily, but I was like, I feel the heaviness of there's something going on here.
And your senses are heightened here because you're here under the premise of trying to investigate activity of some sort. Mm-hmm. Do you think that plays into it at all? Or do you?
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so did you experience anything? Did you hear sounds or what happened?
A lot happened.
A lot happened.
Give me a good one.
Okay. Well, we have one that we didn't actually have during our show. So should I tell the clock one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So while we were there, we were doing, we were just doing like spirit sessions and like using the spirit box and Estes method. And
what is that?
The Estes method is like sensory deprivation.
Do you want you, it's like a float tank?
Kind of.
Kind of. A little bit. It's technologically assisted mediumship. So when people have S boxes or spirit boxes or some sort of sweeping radio that like scans through the radio stations, the scanning of the radio stations very quickly is supposed to basically prevent any like full words or sentences coming through by actual radio hosts and give an opportunity for spirits to like communicate and speak through the radio.
Like a wavelength for them to tap into. Exactly.
The Estes method takes the spirit box and basically plugs in noise canceling headphones, and then the person will wear a blindfold so that they can't be influenced at all by anyone in the room asking questions. They won't know if you're reacting to what they're saying. They actually don't even know if you're in the room with them, really. And so the Estes method is someone sitting there, they can't see, they can hear, but all they hear is the ch-ch-ch-ch of the sweeping radio, and then they'll repeat any words that they hear.
Yeah.
And then someone else or a group of people are in the room with them asking questions. And so they're just repeating the words that the spirits are saying in response.
Okay, so it's kind of like a experiment where you're speaking to them and this is like the fail-proof.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, variable here where it's kind of...
There's no influence.
If they heard something that made sense as a response... That would be either a strange coincidence or real.
And the entire time, the responses were like accurately responding to our questions.
That's what freaked us out so much, because we used the Estes method and the Frank's box. There's a Frank's box is something that was created by a man named Frank Sumption in the early 2000s to communicate with aliens. And there's only some 200 of them. And Greg and Dana Newkirk, who came with us to the overnight, they have one. And so they brought it. And we were using the Frank's box as the spirit box with the Estes method.
Yeah.
And we'd never used it before. We probably did this method for like almost 90 minutes. And I think you and I probably, I think we assumed there'd be like a lot of dead space or like a lot of opportunities for spirits to say something that like didn't make sense to us. We were prepped for that. That never happened.
Yeah.
Everything made sense. Everything was a response. We were never interrupted by the spirits. They never spoke out of turn. It was freaky.
So then this example that I'll tell you is, we were asking the spirits if they remembered the Perrin family, who the Conjuring movie is based off of. And Dana, using the Estes method, responded immediately saying, I remember when they were young that there was a clock then. And we didn't really think anything of it. But then after we did all of this and as we were putting together our show, we interviewed Andrea Perrin, who is the woman we were asking the ghosts if they remembered. And Andrea tells us this story about the day they moved in, they had this grandfather clock. And maybe within like the first week, it kept going off at a certain time. And then all of a sudden it stopped working. And it was stuck on that time that it was going off every night. And it was like when they were experiencing paranormal activity. It stopped working and did not ever work again until the day they moved out, and it immediately started working again.
Wow.
And we were like, the ghosts recall the clock.
They remember.
They remembered the clock. There was a clock then. And they were kind of like, in my mind, it was like they were admitting that they had some interference with the clock.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of pointing towards the... Also like how Frank just called it the Frank box.
Frank box.
It's like, what can I call this? Well, it's my box, so...
Yeah.
It's Frank's box.
Yeah.
And we have to honor that because he's since passed. So yeah. It's his box.
It's Frank's box.
Yeah,
it's his. Not yours.
And the extraterrestrials, they told him to build it. And actually having the Frank's box there was so perfect, because I think a lot of people associate the Conjuring House with spirits and with poltergeists, something demonic.
Yeah.
But aliens are a huge thing there. People see UFOs all the time.
Hmm.
We were told when we were using the Estes method, and also when we were just using a sort of like radio S-box on its own, from the spirits that there were aliens there, and to look in the window, and that they come through the window, and that they'll look like fake clouds, which again was so weird because we were hearing all of this. And then later when we spoke to Andrea and had that interview, she was telling us about one of the many experiences she had there where she looked outside and there were clouds that looked like cotton candy, multicolored clouds. And then an entire like flotilla of ships came through the sky.
Flotilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her the word she used.
That's her word, yeah.
Yes, is that a real word? Whole,
yeah, like yeah, a fleet. Like,
yeah,
an army of
flotilla
of aliens.
Yes. Wow, that sounds
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I am bummed though because I like feel like that would have been my opportunity to be abducted and I'm still here.
Or maybe you were, you just haven't remembered it yet.
Maybe that's true.
I would love for that to be true.
Not at the Conjuring
Until you found
houses.
Out what they were doing up there.
I was
witness. We were like, God, these people are weird.
I know.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun experiences too, though.
Yeah, it was really fun.
There was a lot of like funny moments where the spirits do kind of poke fun at you or interact with you. And there was one story that I'll tell you that came through the Frank's box. Like we asked, or Greg asked, is there one thing that you would like to tell the world? Like, what is one thing if you have the opportunity for the whole world to be your audience, what would it be? And the spirit said, the naked guy, or like the naked man. And Greg and Dana had no idea what this was about, but Sabrina and I did, because when we did the overnight, or sorry, when we did the day tour the day before, our tour guide was Corey Heinzen, who his family had owned the house previously for 3 years. And he told us that there was a foreign reality TV show that came in and filmed there. Well, basically the premise of the show was that every single episode there would be someone who would be plopped in a house and no one would know where they were staying or what was special about this house, but the house would be haunted. Okay. So it was like to see if any hauntings would happen to
we
this person.
We don't know what they knew, because this guy clearly did not know there were cameras either.
No, he didn't, because he was like fully naked, like penis out all night, walking around.
Was that one of the rules? You had to be naked? Or
no.
This is just, he just chose.
He decided
that's how
to do
I'm
going to
do this.
Yeah. This is why we did not know if he knew if there were cameras. But what was so funny is when we heard like the spirits, when asked what's one thing that they want to talk about, they were like, why are people not talking about that naked guy
that
was here?
They loved the naked guy coming to visit.
They
probably don't get any of them. Yeah.
It was refreshing, right? Because everyone else comes in with like paranormal equipment.
Finally, something interesting in here.
Yeah. This guy's just dick swinging.
He must have been naked a lot if he's...
I think the whole
time.
The whole night.
He just got in there and just took his clothes off and he's like, this is how I'm going to do this.
He made himself comfortable. I'm wondering if that episode ever was able to be aired.
If I say, is this a real show? Like, does it exist somewhere?
I don't know.
We should find out.
Yeah. Like, I will be damned if we go find some naked guy with like these cameras. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
I want to know what happened to him. Cause clearly, were they so shocked at what was happening that they just like were stunned watching
what
him?
Did he sign to get on this show?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. But yeah, the spirits were very active.
Okay.
There are plenty of funny ones.
Actually, this makes me want to tell, I don't know if we've ever told you about this, the ghost penis. We have caught an image of a spectral being before. Okay. We were in New Orleans and we went to Lafitte's blacksmith shop, which is like infamously haunted. And I was taking a picture of Corinne and my friend Scout sitting in front of the fireplace where a lot of people see faces like of this guy,
Jean Lafitte.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking a picture and I take one live photo and one regular photo within the same minute. The live photo, there's nothing, but in the still photo, right behind my friend Scout's nose is a spirit-looking thing. And as we zoom in, it is...
It's an ectoplasmic penis.
Yes.
That thing is like a little tiny blue...
Penis.
Yeah.
Well, what did it look like?
A penis.
It was...
I mean, it was just
mostly
ball. A penis.
I don't know.
That was the only time we've ever been in the tabloids.
Yeah.
Truly.
My only quote online is Corinne Vienne from Two Girls, One Ghost said, quote, yep, that's definitely a penis.
Should I know one when I see one?
I know a penis when I see one.
Where was it in the picture?
I can show it to you.
It was like right by her nose.
She's in her face?
Behind her face.
It's in the fireplace that everyone else sees his face. And we were on Sabrina's bachelorette trip, so we were like, of course the bachelorette party like actually gets shown his penis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not his face.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, so it being how big was it?
Petite.
Nothing thrilling.
Yeah. He's not going to get a reputation.
But it was clearly a penis, so we could tell it was
a penis.
It
looked like something.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a little ghost penis.
Just a little. Very perfect for Two Girls, One Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess But there was no body. It was just...
just the penis. Yeah.
Just yes. that.
Yeah.
I gotta see this. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's wild.
I know. I'm curious what you'll think.
Yeah. I want to know if it's like, oh, yeah, that's penis for sure. or if it's like...
you're like, oh, I'm going to grab it.
Could, yeah, please.
I'm
going to
grab it.
Like, yeah. Is it like definitive enough? Well, I'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be the judge.
You can judge. You can be honest too if you're like, I think you guys are exaggerating.
I'm like, wow, that's huge.
What are you talking about? That's small.
So here's the photo, the live photo. So there's nothing in here.
Okay.
This is Scout, and this is Scout, me. Okay. And that's the fireplace.
This is the fireplace. So nothing's in there.
We're sitting on like folding chairs.
And now.
Look, it has the mushroom top. It has the testes. It's got a shaft.
Yeah.
Is my brightness all
it's
the way
very down? Phallic.
Right? That looks like a dick.
I mean, it's kind of what I was picturing in my head. It's
right?
a ghost penis.
It's a ghost penis.
Yeah.
A blue spectral penis.
And if it's not, it sure as hell looks like one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you've seen Jean Lafitte's penis.
You learn something every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
People don't think about these things as an opportunity to be seen when they're thinking about seeing a ghost.
Right.
And
right.
we didn't either.
I never thought, like, would I ever see the ghost penis, though?
Right.
Right.
No.
People worry about spirits watching them shower and like, oh, right. are they going to watch me change? And sometimes you accidentally see them.
I will say it's a very creative haunting.
Yeah, it is. What would you do? What would your signature move be? I hope not whipping it out.
Now that you know this is an option.
I like how you transitioned like straight from like, hey, this guy's a flasher ghost. What would you do then? Huh? Tell us. And I'm like, not that.
Okay, good.
I don't know. Like if I was pranking somebody or just, do you get to choose one or can you just do whatever you want?
Okay, if you were showing up as a ghost to us, what would you do?
Okay. I mean, I feel like I'd have to like try to scare you, but in a funny way.
Okay.
Like whisper something like really weird, but like, what?
We actually do have a code word. If one of us dies before the other, that we can deliver a message through someone else to the other person.
Like if someone at a bar walks up to us and says, I don't know why I have to say this, but I just need to tell you this. And then they say the code word.
Oh, so
we'll know
if one of y'all passes and you're just... like with a stranger and they send along a message.
Yes.
So what is it? Or is it a secret?
Well, we just came up with a new one so we can say our old one.
Yeah, because we accidentally said it on an episode.
Okay, that was now someone's going to just say that to you.
Yeah. It was, the old one was purple panties.
Purple panties.
Okay. That would be a strange thing for a stranger to come up and do.
Like, I have to tell you, purple panties.
Yeah, you're shopping and you're putting your cart through the Piggly Wiggly and someone's like, purple panties.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm not going to go around saying that to a lot of people.
No, exactly. Yeah. No.
That's how we would know it's one another.
I already forgot our new one, though. So
I know.
We'll
to,
like,
listen back and all.
The one time that's totally cool for a stranger to be, hey,
purple
real
panties.
Quick. Purple panties. They're like, okay.
It's apropos again for our podcast.
So it's safe to say that in your experience, the Conjuring House was haunted?
Definitely.
It was definitely haunted.
Definitely haunted.
It's, the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We walked away feeling a lot more like respectful and understanding of the spirits that were there, though. I think a lot of people go in expecting, similar to kind of, we did go in expecting to be horrified.
Yeah.
And I don't think we were ever horrified. We were very intrigued and
curious. I was scared when we heard an EVP that said midnight. And Greg was like, what happens at midnight? And I heard clear as day, death.
I said it three different voices, said death, death,
I mean, time
death.
To go, right?
And then at midnight, or like 11:58, we're down in the basement of the Conjuring House. And Dana and Greg are talking about the Crone of Catskills, which is this like terrifying object that they have a documentary that just came out about it. And I'm like looking at my phone. I'm like, hey, so it's almost midnight. Can we like stop talking about scary things until after midnight? And everyone's like, for 2 seconds. Yeah. 2 seconds later, Dana goes, isn't this the basement like where that hide and clap scene from the Conjuring movie takes place? And I was like, it's 11:59.
You're going to run in my car real quick. I think I left my chapstick in there.
But yeah, we made it past midnight. Yeah.
Okay, so you're alive.
We're alive.
Yeah.
Okay, but I feel like we've waited long enough to know what the surprise is.
Okay, so yeah.
I've been thinking about it all this whole time.
I got... you guys a gift. I got you a little gift.
I'm why am I nervous?
Here we go.
Payne, are you fucking kidding me? I knew
my
it.
Heart.
I knew it.
My heart is pounding.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you going to make us play with a Ouija board? You can watch.
I mean,
I'm participating. I'm in.
See, and that's why I have
I'm
having you sit here because I knew you'd be like, well, I'm going to. So I'm like, okay.
My heartbeat, I can feel it right now. It's boom, boom, boom.
So, yeah, this is the world's smallest Ouija board. I mean, if anything, it's very cute.
It is cute.
Did you buy a new one or is this the one that you were telling us about?
This is the one.
So you never unwrapped it. Is this a collector's item?
I bought a bunch of little tiny games like this, and I thought it was just so cute looking and cool.
It is.
But then I'm like, I'm not going to like use this.
It says, yes, actually works.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Like,
it actually works.
So have you ever used a Ouija board before?
No,
I have.
And?
Totally made contact with some spirits.
Oh, God.
But like, it was in middle school, so it was
okay,
like,
okay.
You know.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it was spooky enough.
Have you used one?
I have not.
Okay.
And you
okay,
know,
well then here, I'll be the teacher.
If you,
you
bring
guys will
some play. Evil spirit in here and like screw up my sleep tonight or haunt me,
no, then you'll be hexing us instead of.
I'm down to try it. Do you know how to do it?
I mean,
yes.
Yes. Okay.
And we just have to set intentions and make sure we say goodbye. Those are like the biggest rules.
Okay, and you know how to do that. And you're going to do it correctly so we don't
I hope so.
Get permanently haunted or
we're
something.
We're about to find out.
Or, yeah. Whew.
Does it have the age on there? Like, you know, it's like, you know, 10 and up or what does it say?
Not for children under 3.
So if you're 4, you're good.
As soon as you can talk.
You can totally talk to the evil spirits.
You're right.
But 3, that's the cutoff right there.
Yeah.
So how do we do this?
Okay, maybe I will play.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Cool.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe y'all play. I'll just watch.
You guys are no. You have
no!
to be part of it.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I'm being influenced.
All right. So who's gonna open it up? Not it. Nose goes.
We're like gathering around the Ouija board. Wow, that is the tiniest planchette I've ever seen.
Yeah. Is it too small?
Does
is the
this
question.
Go?
The
thing
is,
this
I don't
like,
know.
Sit
I also feel like I'm shaking.
I am shaking.
Like,
okay. Before we begin. We should set intentions. So basically, we're not trying to provoke anything evil.
Nope.
Only positive, good, love, and light is allowed here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And nothing is allowed to follow us home.
Correct.
Correct.
Great.
Y'all get that?
Got it?
Okay.
Great.
We're trusting you.
Okay, so then we each put a finger on.
Do we have to say something after that, or is it?
Well, then you each put one finger on the planchette, this little mini planchette, but do it as lightly as you possibly can so that you're not really influencing how, like, its
okay.
movement. I know.
Okay. I am shaking.
We're all shaking.
Yeah, okay.
It's so tiny, it's hard.
Are you, okay. Woo. Okay. All right.
And now you're supposed to ask a question. Don't
okay.
abandon Sabrina. Keep your
okay,
finger
I'm,
on there.
I'm right,
okay.
I'm right here.
We're both on it. Okay.
Okay, and now you can start asking
we
questions.
We ask, are there any spirits here with us? I feel like
Payne.
You're moving it, Payne.
I'm shaking. I'm nervous. Okay.
You lost contact.
Okay,
but we'll try again.
Reset.
Okay.
Is there anyone in this Airbnb with us? Did you rent the one non-haunted?
I mean, it doesn't look very haunted.
Should we also put my Necrophonic app on too?
Oh, that's interesting.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Let's open.
We also got to remember to say goodbye, even if we don't believe that this
yeah.
thing is working.
Yeah, we're gonna be like, there's nothing there. And I'm like, yeah, guys, there is someone in
exactly.
my room now.
Like, what did you guys do to me?
Giving you a little tickle.
See, that's my fear is that, oh man, this is just a game, and someone's going to come remind me later on tonight that it's not a game. Okay, so what's
here,
the deal?
I'll put
with
my
this?
Microphone by this, oh, and then Sabrina, you can ask questions.
Okay. Are there any spirits here with us? I heard I am.
Wait.
Do you want to communicate with us using the Ouija board?
Oh, shit.
Kind of.
Are you pushing it, or is that just...
I'm not sure. Like, all of the vibration of...
All of us are shaking.
Yeah, we're all like...
Is there any message you would like to share with us?
What was that?
It is spooky, though.
It is. It sounds terrifying.
Would you like to communicate with us?
I wish we'd brought all of our other equipment, too. Do you have anything in your backpack? I don't think I do.
A real witch world. I'm kidding.
How dare
I'm
like,
I? See, this is what I'm talking
You're
about.
You're feeding into our insecurities.
Okay, here we go. I got one. Okay. If there's any... Hey. If there's any spirit in here, are these real witches?
I think that was a duh.
It was a sure.
Doy.
Yeah, doy. Doy.
What are you wearing?
Are ghosts' penises real? They are.
They are.
It's supposed to sweep through the radios the same way that like a spirit box does, but
no,
I think
definitely
they
doesn't.
Added just like, yeah.
It's like it could sound less spooky.
Yeah.
It could be a little clearer.
Yeah. Or like we can't even hear the scan of like the
Yeah. All right, should we close out?
Yes,
sure
we have to keep our fingers on and we have to say.
Okay, don't mess this part up. Okay.
Yeah, well, you don't mess this part up.
Okay. No lifting of the finger.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you to whoever is here for the opportunity to speak to you. We are going to say our goodbyes now. We appreciate your efforts and wish you the best of times staying here.
We are closing our conversation and communication with you at this time.
What they said. And thank you for your time. And please don't haunt me. So for the listener who is totally, I'm not into any of this stuff. I think it's all fake. Obviously, you're going to be like, cool, give me your name. You're on my list. What would you say to them in terms of maybe opening their mind a little bit?
If you like good stories, you don't have to believe in them. You could just be like, oh, this is a fun story.
And I think that there's a lot that happens around us that we sometimes write off as something else. And it's like, if you take a pause and you take a moment and you actually try to think about what just happened to you or recreate something that happened that might have seemed odd, like something falling off of a bookshelf, if you can't recreate it, then perhaps that is something trying to get, or someone trying mm-hmm. to get your attention. I think it's easy to put up our blinders and be like, oh, must have been the wind, even though all my doors and windows are closed and I don't even mm-hmm. have air conditioning in here. I think it's easier to just be like, I don't believe, because sometimes it's scary and it rocks all of my core beliefs that I might already have.
Yeah.
But I think if you just think for a moment, and unfortunately, I feel like it does take certain people losing someone or like a pet or someone close to them to start to open up and start to recognize some of the signs that happen around us.
Mm-hmm. I think the paranormal also offers a lot of hope. And like...
How so?
In the sense that death is scary. We don't know what comes after it. So believing in the paranormal and the afterlife kind of offers you a little bit of a solace if you lose someone, like Corinne's saying, to know that maybe they're still there and watching over you.
Yeah. It's less doom and gloom that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks
was fun.
Thanks for having us.
And I really hope that we did not conjure some ghost. And if we did, he leaves with you guys and not with me.
We have some cleansing material.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So if you receive a call from me like 2 a.m. tonight, answer it because I probably need your help.
We'll grab our Scooby-Doo
book. 3:33 a.m.
All the stuff I said about this being a fun little game and be like, holy shit, what do we do?
This is serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys are fun. And I'm going to be at your show tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
And thanks for supporting us.
Absolutely.
Maybe more will happen tonight.
It might. Maybe we just like poked at it.
Yeah.
They're like,
this was the warm up.
Y'all just went. Maybe.
Yeah.
If all the things you're saying are true, that they follow you around and stuff, then maybe they're like, nah, we'll save it.
Yeah.
Normally when things happen, we blame it on our podcast guests, but I think tonight we'll blame it on you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hopefully it's not lame.
Yeah. Hopefully it's something fun.
Yeah. Better be
nice.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Another ghost penis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow.
On stage.
It takes up the whole room. They're like, wait, is Payne dead? Where is he? So no, he's just really asleep. He's back at the Airbnb, astral projecting. And I'm like, on his back. And I'm like, holy shit. We'll end on that note. Well, thank you guys. That was fun.
Thank you.
Talking to Death is a production of Tenderfoot TV and iHeart Podcast, created and hosted by Payne Lindsay. For Tenderfoot TV, executive producers are Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright. Co-executive producer is Mike Rooney. For iHeart Podcasts, executive producers are Matt Frederick and Alex Williams, with original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Additional production by Mike Rooney, Dylan Harrington, Sean Nerney, Dayton Cole, and Gustav Wild for Cohedo. Production support by Tracy Kaplan, Mara Davis, and Trevor Young. Mixing and mastering by Cooper Skinner and Dayton Cole. Our cover art was created by Rob Sheridan. Check out our website, talkingtodeathpodcast.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Talking to Death. This series is released weekly, absolutely free. But if you want ad-free listening and exclusive bonuses, you can subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to tenderfootplus.com.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.